950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Samantha Vang, Representative 40B. I do believe we have her, and now let's get her on the air. Representative, thank you very much for, glad we finally connected here.
Thank you, Matt, for having me. Pleasure being here.
No problem. Yeah, speaker phone sometimes can... I was sounding quite demonic. And even though I am kind of a jerk at times, I'm not that bad. So I'm glad we were able to actually hear each other. The first thing I want to talk about is you are on the redistricting committee here. How are you feeling about these maps? Because I feel when I looked at it as a friend of the DFL here, I look at these maps and I see a pretty good map for the DFL, both the House and the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we started our process back in the off session and we voted off our DFL map off the committee. And of course, we couldn't reach an agreement with the Senate to meet the deadline. And now that the maps are out, we just have to accept what it is. You know, it took us. It was a pretty chaotic week when it came out. We were sharing with our colleagues about trying to process, especially you know when some of our colleagues got paired together or got redistricted out. We're just trying to be there for one another, and you know, we just have to accept that this is the map that it is.
Well, and we also should understand these maps got installed because the Republicans in the Senate, their versions were a laughingstock, and they really were. I was looking at them when they first put them out. I'm like, okay, this is a pipe dream you guys have put out there. And to a point, I think that the courts agreed with us because, if anything, the maps looked far closer to what the Democrats had put out than anything the Republicans were trying to put out.
Yes, that's correct. We had a transparent and fair process, I believe. We had many hearings open to the public. We took a lot of public testimony and listened to the needs of the community. And, you know, everything that we've done in redistricting, you can see on what we posted on our Minnesota legislative website. We kept a pretty fair process, and we listened to the need and what folks believe how the maps should be drawn, and we stuck to that. And the Republicans, they have not heard what public hearing they had on any redistricting at all.
They're not big fans of the public hearings on the GOP side.
Yes, that's correct.
Your district, let's talk 40B. It changed a little bit up there, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, my district has grown, and so that means that geographically you have to shrink. I did lose a portion of Brooklyn Park, but I still represent a couple precincts in the Brooklyn Park area. I think the biggest change is the Parks Center High School was previously not in my district, but now I have that high school in my district now.
Okay, I feel pretty good about you going back. There have been some changes. I was looking interestingly. I'm down in the Cheryl Youakim district, and Cheryl is still my rep, but she lost some district and now picked up a bunch of Edina. I mean, there are some places where this has changed somewhat dramatically. I look at Dave Osmek's Senate district, for goodness sakes, that changed dramatically. He's not too happy with that, nor is Chamberlain in his Senate district. But I mean, I think your district. I think it's part of that metro core where there's just more and more of these safe House and Senate districts now because Minneapolis, St. Paul and the other metro areas in the state, they're growing. And that is the benefit to the DFL.
Yeah. Yes, that is true. We have where the population are growing is in the city, the metro area, and where districts have lost have come from the greater Minnesota area.
Your committee assignments, you're the vice chair of the Agriculture, Finance, and Policy, Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law, and Public Safety, Criminal Justice Reform as well. Let's go to, I love when I can talk ag policy because my thesis paper in college was on ag radio, actually. So I love talking, I like talking agricultural issues. What's one of the bigger issues that you were glad you were able to tackle last year in any of your committees?
Last year we heard tremendously from farmers who suffered severely from the drought. And we tried last year to pass a drought release package in trying to get into another special session. However, that didn't happen. And so this year, we are trying to move in an urgent pace to pass a drought relief package, $10 million, $5 million that directly are direct relief package, relief grants to livestock producers and specialty producers, and many of these producers are small scale. We are trying to move that. We are moving in the House. We've passed it out in the Ag Committee, and it's going through the committee process. And we sent the bills over in the Senate, and we're still waiting on Senator Westrom to introduce the bill. And, you know, so far have not gotten any action from the Senate side once again. But we've heard from many farmers, and many of these farmers are within the Republican district.
Yeah.
Who suffer severely from the drought, like especially the northwestern part of the state. Have a very severe drought that, you know, many of these small-scale farmers don't often have a safety net when they lose their crops or revenue. There's no safety net for them to recover from those losses. So these grants are greatly needed.
Well, can I bring up another point here, which, you know, it does point to kind of a real nefarious agenda for the Republicans in the Senate, is that there was the talk of a special session to get this drought relief, you know, stuff put forward, but the Republicans kept floating out the ideas like maybe we'll be, and as they stated, this is their words, execute a few of Governor Walz's commissioners if you bring us back. And they could have easily said, you know what, we guarantee you we will not touch the commissioners, bring us back and do this. The impression was that the second they could, that they were going to dismiss a bunch of commissioners, which they didn't when the regular session started, which they could have done it then. Which brings up the question of what they're doing anyway, because, I mean, if they really do care about their constituents, this would have been a no-brainer for a special session to say, okay, we'll lay off the commissioners then. But even now, you know, okay, you were the ones that were screaming for the special session deal. You can get this passed now. Why are they holding up the agenda?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I wish you can bring them on here and we can ask them ourselves.
They're scared of me. They don't like them. I always say this, the same thing, Representative. I'll have a Republican of the day. My questions, my show. I will not let you rant. And funny story, they don't take me up on the offer. So it just is one of the things there. with the ag sector as well, I mean, it's obviously the larger question here is the margins that these farmers are running into. They're just getting worse and worse. Now, it's obviously there. I was reading a little bit today about some of the maybe the international in, you know, intricacies of this war with Ukraine and how it might affect our crop markets here in the United States. But the reality is that farmers have generally seen their margins shrink every single year. Is there really something we can do here, or is this kind of the corporatization of the agricultural sector?
Well, part of my priorities for this year's session is really to support small-scale producers.
Yes.
Because they're the ones who get the least subsidies from both the federal and the state and have more barriers and less access to apply for funding or additional funding and subsidies. So, you know, some of my priorities in the Ag Committee is to support small farmers, especially, you know, in creating access to land, in creating infrastructure that provides a safety net for small farmers to reduce their risk. As we can expect, there's going to be more climate-related weather and risk. That's going to occur more frequently, and we need to have a system in place to support all farmers who need help when they need it. You know, we will do what we can to support farmers. You know, it's not just this year that's been difficult, and especially with the, you know, the foreign relations that's been happening that does greatly affect farmers. Farmers have been struggling for a number of years now, you know, and last year was just the drought. Who knows what this year will bring. And so we at the state just hope that we can continue to be a safety net for these farmers when they need help.
You're on Public Safety and Criminal Justice. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up what happened yesterday, the guilty verdicts in the federal trial against the three other officers that were on the scene when Derek Chauvin murdered George Floyd in the streets of Minneapolis. The Republicans are trying to turn this entire election into public safety and stuff like this, and these, you know, fairly aggressive pro-cop bills. And I just, you know, not only are they not willing to ban white supremacist, racist, and Klans members from becoming members of the police forces in the state, which is ludicrous. I don't know why they keep fighting against that. But at the same time as well, you know, someone brought up the point. It's like, well, if you really want to basically help the cops, why don't you basically pay back the taxpayers of these communities, Brooklyn Center, Hennepin County, Minneapolis, when they have these $20, $24 million payouts to the families of police murder or police brutality being paid out on these consistent basis. I mean, the reality is that there's all this applause for the police, but there doesn't seem to be any willingness from Republicans in St. Paul to step up and hold the police accountable for their bad deeds, aka pay back the taxpayers who have to cover the costs of this bad police behavior.
Right, exactly. And I'm happy to see that, you know, for so long we have not seen much done on police accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, we've worked at the state, we worked hard to give the police board, which is, you know, more authority, because right now, like any profession, if you're a teacher or you're a doctor, you got to get licensed. And if you do a misdeed or act in misconduct or irresponsible, you get disciplined or you lose your license. And right now, the police don't really have that. The police board does not have that ability to hold police officers accountable for their misconduct. And so at the state, that's our job, is to make sure that we take care of the bad apples, and that we continue to support good cops, good policing, and best practices. And so that's, you know, what we've been working on at the state, and I'm happy to see that we are, you know, at the Democrats are working on towards accountability. And also on, you know, supporting good cops, but you know it's been tough with the Senate, and you know, we will continue to negotiate. It's still we're still a quarter way through session, and we have a couple more months to go, and we will continue to work with the Senate.
You know, just I'll say it, and you know this. Don't trust them. don't trust those guys. They're a bunch of connivers. I've watched them for years. They will pull tricks. So I'm glad you're right. I'm glad you're there to hold them accountable. Any other issue here that you want to champion in the upcoming session?
Yeah, I'm working on two big priorities of mine. One is fully funding the full service community school. We often talked about bridging opportunity gaps in our education system, and for full-service community schools is a model we can utilize. You know, many students, especially students in underserved communities, likely miss instructional school days due to, you know, issues probably outside of the classroom, you know, such as basic needs not being met at home. And so full-service community school can bridge resources and wraparound services to help students so their full attention and time can be spent in the classroom. And another priority of mine is working on addressing the mental health workforce crisis. There simply aren't enough people to carry out the treatment and services to meet the increased needs. And so my legislation that I'm carrying looks at loan forgiveness program and providing scholarship grants to providers so they can get, who are advancing the career, to get tuition reimbursement or support in child care and transportation issues. So those are the two priorities that I'm excited to be working on this session, along with the many other things that I'm also working on. And, you know, this is a session that we need to look beyond the pandemic. You know, the past 2 years have been focused a lot on supporting frontline workers and families struggling through the pandemic, and now we are still working on addressing the needs of the pandemic, and also looking forward at what we need to do long-term wise.
Representative Samantha Vang, once again, help her, make sure we get her back into St. Paul 40B. Is it still samanthavang.org?
Yes, that's correct.
SamanthaVang.org. Volunteer, donate there. I'll make sure I post all of this a little bit later on. Representative, all my best. A pretty good agenda out there, and I think you're doing some great work out there. Thank you very much for the time today, and thanks for being Democrat of the Day.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate being here. It's good to hear from you again, Matt.